Log Talk Radio.
And a little Game of Thrones in there, thrown 2 weeks in a row. Welcome to the St. Louis Red Army Podcast. I am your fill-in host tonight. I am Kessup, along with DK. He's actually not on assignment, but live on air tonight for us out the streets of St. Louis. Matt Hutchinson, out on assignment, is the Dr. Red Hogan, just getting his sea legs back from his travels to Europe. And he was there in person to see Manchester United go down to Everton. So, fellas, we got a lot
going on. That poor guy.
A lot going on in the world.
He spent all that money to go to that Everton game.
Right. We're going to start right in it, guys. Paul Pogba. We have seen brilliance. We've seen why he is the world-class midfielder he is, why he could be the best player in the Premier League. But consistency has been a huge key. He doesn't show up in key matches. He really hasn't all year. So, PK, let's go ahead and start with your assessment of Paul Pogba.
I said it from the beginning of the season. He plays when he wants to. Now that he knows who his new manager is, he's clicked. I said it from September, August, that Paul Pogba was the problem. And I'll stand by it. I'm ready for him to go to Real Madrid.
Yeah, Mr. Hutchinson.
Yeah, I've been trying to defend Paul Pogba for quite a while now, pretty much the entire season. And I was blaming Jose's approach to Paul Pogba's problems in the first half of the year. And I still think there was a lot to that, but I think what we've seen over the last few weeks is, for whatever reason, he seems to have just lost interest. And these two games, and really for the balance of the season, it's really critical that he steps up and he shows that he's a world-class player that he believes he is, and I think a lot of still think he is, and to step up and take control of games. And, I mean, that's been the common thing you keep hearing the announcers make is, like, when's he going to step up and take control of these games? And we're fighting for a top-four finish. We're fighting to get Champions League next year and all the implications that go along with that, and he just hasn't really stepped up and tried to take a game by the scruff. And it's getting really frustrating. I'm having a hard time defending him now, and I'm starting to think that he is a large part of the problem that's been going on over this past month since we've gone on this slide. So I don't know how you fix the problem. I don't know how you convince a guy like that he's got to be more motivated and get out there and lead this team. I don't know how you fix it this summer. If you sell him off, it's a huge gap to try to fill in terms of trying to bring a world-class guy. So how do you get him motivated to play the way he did those first two, first 10 games that Ali took over? So it's frustrating. I think he's part of the way.
Yeah, most definitely. We all know the old saying, a high tide rises all boats. We definitely need that player in there, and he unfortunately hasn't been. Moving on to Romelu Lukaku, I don't know if you guys have read the most recent article, but I quote, "I dream one day to play in Serie A." Not really sure where his head's at along with a lot of the other players right now. That's kind of been evident on the pitch for the past month. So what say you, PK?
I think with his playing time and his performance, of course he's looking at other things. I played soccer. I would dream to play in Serie A too. It echoes what the whole the Pogba thing was, you know, it's a dream to play at Real. It seems to be clickbait. There's a lot of it out there. Right now, according to social media, every player wants to leave Manchester United. For whatever reason, whatever, they'll find a quote somewhere in their Twitter, Instagram, whatever, to find it. Do I think Lukaku's gone in the summer? Absolutely. Do I think he's 100% wants to be gone? No, I think he's a fighter. He wants to prove some things. But the way the league is going, his dynamic of a player, I could see him going to Italy next year. It's a thicker league. It's not as quick and it's not as speedy as the EPL has become. I mean, 10 years ago, he's the best forward in the league. Right now, he needs 7 chances to finish, which he can't afford. You know, that article was clickbait. I clicked on it. I shared it with you guys. That's kind of what's out there right now as we get toward the summer. Do I think he's gone? Yeah. Do I want him to be gone? I'm okay with it. We need a sharp rebuild. I think we have the targets in place. I think Ole gets what we need as a club, and we'll go from there. I want a director of football. I think that's where we're failing miserably. I think every other top club has one. And if he wants to go to Serie A, let him. We sold bigger players than him.
Yeah, I mean, if we all remember the old alias that Paul Pogba had, the whole Agent P, him going out and getting all these players, that was the big coup that we had, was Romelu Lukaku. Paul Pogba was in his feature down there in L.A. when they were taking photo shoots for him to put out to the masses. You know, Paul Pogba was right there. They were good buddies, so we were definitely expecting a lot of things from him. What do you got to say?
And on top of that, if Pogba's out, he's probably letting saying Lukaku, hey, I'm leaving. You know, he's the recruiting guy that brought you in. Sorry, dude, I'm leaving now too. You know, do what you want to do. That could be another layer of it that we're just not seeing.
Right. What do you got to say, Hutch?
Yeah, I think it's a silly thing for him to say in light of, you know, Pogba saying a similar comment about Real Madrid a few weeks ago and all the commentary that came off of that. So you think he'd keep his mouth shut. But, you know, I think he realizes that Rashford's going to take over that central striking role. And so if over the summer we go out and we try to find an upgrade on the right side of the forward attack, I think that certainly means Lukaku's odd man out. So he's definitely got to be thinking he's got to be shopping around for a new team in the summer. But, again, why say that now? Why create this kind of a mess when you're still a part of the team and you're playing with a bunch of guys who, you know, you hope that they're trying to fight for top four. So the timing just kind of sucks. But, you know, like PK said, I think it's a little bit of a clickbait line too. You know, in the U.S., we get so used to how much access our media has to the teams. You know, they get to spend a ton of time in the locker room before and after a game. They get the press conferences with the coach. They travel with the team. Like, you've got these embedded reporters who really get a good pulse of what's really truly going on between the players and the manager and just the whole vibe of the team. And over in Europe with soccer, it's closed off. They get a little bit of time with the players. They do a little press conference after, and so much is just left up for speculation. And so they post these articles where things are said that aren't really said, or they'll gravitate towards one line and they'll blow it out of proportion. And I think that's maybe a lot of what's going on right now with the club. I think, you know, the injuries that happened at the Liverpool game and then having to go up against 4 massive games against Barcelona, PSG, and still trying to sort out, you know, a new manager and the aftermath of Jose. And I think there's a lot of things going on right now, and I think the players are frustrated. I think the players are tired. I think there's maybe not as much drama going on as what the media is trying to portray. And, again, I think it's because they don't have the access. So they got to make up a story, and they're going to jump all over things like what Lukaku said. So he probably should have kept his mouth shut, but he's on his way out.
And I'll touch on that media thing too, is the U.S. media, they're so embedded, they realize what they can say and what they shouldn't say. And I think that's a lot of it, and I think not having the media embedded as much as the American media, whatever they have to get clicks for their website or their blog, they'll jump into. By the way, Tarasenko just scored. There's that dynamic too. Just how sports are covered, each this side of the pond. And I agree with Hutch. You know, if someone says something silly, they're going to run with it, and it's clicked.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And just touching on, you guys definitely hit the nail on the head right there with the clickbait stuff. If you saw Juan Mata's getting frustrated with the club, now he's linked with Atletico. And Ander Herrera, who we thought a month ago put pen to paper with PSG, still hasn't signed the contract, and PSG is getting frustrated with him as well. Moving on, David De Gea, without a doubt our best player for the past 6 years. revered by many as the best stop shopper in the world, and a world-class player. Definitely the last couple matches he's been down. This hasn't been his greatest season. Those two goals that he let up versus City, he may have not let up before. But, fellas, we haven't scored a goal in over 500-plus minutes. He's not getting the defensive help that he's had over the years, and we're not getting the same players out there. So, Matt Hutchinson, what do you got to say about De Gea?
I think he's just reached a frustration point, and unfortunately, I think it's just led to some mental lapses. He's still been making some incredible saves. He's made a couple great saves against City and against Everton. So I think there's just mental lapses from an absolute frustration of not getting quality in front of him, but both from, you know, getting some goals to help him out and then just some really poor defense. You know, I saw a meme yesterday, and it was showing a picture from the City game where you've got all four of the defenders on a vertical line on the left hand side of the field, and then there was a drawing of where all four should have been on a horizontal line in front of the goal. So it's just shocking some of the things that he's seen going on in front of him, and you know, I don't want to admit that Jose's right on much, but I think he was definitely right on the fact that we probably should have made getting the center back our number one priority. It doesn't mean that we don't have to go out and get some offensive players too, but we haven't had a consistent back line all year, and a lot of it's been due to injury and chemistry and trying to sort some things out. We haven't had anybody just anchor things down, and I think it's just finally got to the point where De Gea is just like, what else can I do? And so I think it's just, we're seeing the frustration get to him. And this is a guy that deserves to be playing Champions League finals and you know, playing in the biggest matches. And his entire career has been going through this whole rebuilding process. And so maybe it's just kind of finally catching up to him. And he's just really, he's just hit quite a low for him right now.
PK, you've played sport at the collegiate level. You've played that position. I played all my younger years and some throughout high school. You know where the whole game could feel like it's on your shoulders, and you can know you're just kind of a man alone out there if you're not trusting your defenders.
It's a little bit of that. I mean, and it's a burden. As a goalie, your job is to organize everything. I think at this point, he's exhausted. He's fatigued. He stuck it out with his club. I mean, he's expressed years back going to Real Madrid, going back home to Spain, and he stuck it out, and he's seeing, you know, Ole come in. I mean, this is an emotional year for the club. I mean, who knows what was said between players with Josie, and then you get Ole, and everything's great, and now everyone's just fatigued. We're not deep enough to play the schedule we're playing right now. I mean, PSG was the epitome of what this club could be, but it's been a drop down. I think everyone's just exhausted mentally and physically, and I think De Gea's struggles recently are a prime example of just having too much to deal with this season. I mean, you put the Manchester United jersey on, that's a big deal. You're a big time football player, and having to go between Josie to Ole gets signed, now you have a new pressure of representing the coach that you played for and did so well for. I think he's just mentally exhausted. I wouldn't mind seeing Romero get a start here toward the end of the season. I think De Gea stays with the club, but I think, you know, this summer is going to be a welcome break for all of them.
Liverpool's U18 has done absolutely fantastic this year. Man City invested millions of dollars into their youth club. As a club, we have most undoubtedly slipped behind our neighbors. We've slipped behind Liverpool. Last year was probably arguably the best season that we had since Sir Alex Ferguson left, and we finished second, well adrift of Man City. Has the Glazers as owners, have they been passed by? Has the model not been as good? We all know on the commercial side, everybody follows our model. We have plenty of money, but as far as the footballing side, just how far have we fallen off? PK.
100%. Manchester United changed the game. I compare it to Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods was the first golf athlete to physically train himself to golf. I think he was on steroids, side story. But you look at back when Tiger Woods was dominating PGA Tour golf, Greg Statler, John Daly were the top golfers. Now you look at guys like Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth. They're prime specimens of athletes. I think Manchester United did that in the 90s with the Premier League, and so much in the early 2000s. And I think the other clubs have caught up, and we have not adjusted to them catching up to us. And I think Woodard, I think the Glazers have all fallen behind of what European and English Premier League soccer is. And they need to catch up quickly, or, man, it's going to be tough to catch back up.
Matt, is it now a question of we need a director of football? We need somebody else behind the scenes, because we can go through all the transfer windows since Sir Alex Ferguson left. Some have been great, some have been good. In my opinion, last year was probably one of the worst ever. I mean, I know you don't like to admit that Mourinho was right, but I can remember his first press conference before our first game, him pretty much saying, I didn't get the players we want. It's going to be a struggle finishing top four this year. And that's very disheartening coming from a manager of Manchester United. So what do we need to do to put ourselves back on the map in the next couple of years?
Yeah, I think a director of football is absolutely crucial because, you know, we've seen Ed Woodward and the rest of the leadership know how to do things off the field and continue to build the brand. And that's important because that's where the money comes from to go buy players. And you certainly have to have a lot of it to compete with the big clubs. So you have to keep that part of it going. But I think what's becoming clear for United is that they need to have a football voice in the boardroom. And they need to have someone who can manage that from day to day. And we all know that Sir Bobby is involved and Sir Alex is still involved. But they're not involved on the day-to-day level. And you need that top-level executive who understands the sport, who understands the game, who understands the footballing organization part of it to be able to speak up and really weigh in on what those transfers should be. So I think it's crucial. I think that's only part of it, though. I think we talked about this on previous podcasts. I think we've hired three managers that were just not the right guy for the job. And I think Sir Alex was fooling himself and thinking that Moyes was going to be the right guy. And then, you know, when that didn't work out, it's just been kind of a chaotic pick after, you know, the next two were just chaotic picks that were the wrong guys. So I think we got to get somebody in there who understands the sport and those operations of it to help manage the club. You know, you mentioned the youth side of things, you know, with Man City's youth and with Liverpool's youth. Our youth side's been doing really well. You know, they've won some of titles before the reserves have done well. So we're still producing players that are getting sold off to other clubs. So I don't think it's a problem of us not producing youth and pushing youth through. I mean, look at Jesse Lingard and look at Marcus Rashford. So I don't think that's it. I just think we've just been really kind of careless and just, you know, like it's just that chaotic person in the store who's just buying the first shiny thing they want without really investigating what is it really going to, is it really going to help serve me the way that it should? So we just got to get some little better direction go on in terms of our transfer policy and just, you know, better decisions around our management plan and who's going to support who's going to help coach and who's going to be the future manager and grooming people that way. So I think that's where a football director can come in and kind of guide those decisions.
And I want to top on top of that. Roy Keane had a great interview this week. He said, you know, going into the next season with transfers, who's making the final decision on players? Is it Woodard? Is it Ole? You know, the guys that they're bringing in, you know, everyone has their idea what the team should look like. There needs to be a point person that says, no, this is what the team is going to look like. And they don't have that person. You look at our emergency signings between Mata and Sanchez and Lukaku and what we've done, and no one's really decided what the identity of this club is going to be from now on, and we just signed the good players that are out, not the great, the good players that are out there, and that's what the director of football would do for this club is say, I'm the final guy that says to the guys that we're going to sign. Woodard, you can tell me the budget I have to go sign these guys. And they don't have that. It's been scramble signings ever since Ferguson left.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that there. It's definitely been a hodgepodge, and probably our best signing we've had in years, and it has to go way back, is Van Nistelrooy. The man came in. He was already well proven. and he scored goals for us. Moving on, guys, we're going to kind of mend two topics together here. It's been very hard to find a consistent 11. It's been, when Ole came in, everybody's yelling attack, attack football. It's in Manchester's DNA. Before that, with same with Jose Mourinho, same with Louis van Gaal, yelling attack, attack, attack. I was thinking all along we don't have the players to attack, attack, attack. That's just not how we're setting up. It's not the players we're buying. So I'm kind of blending both of those things together. Just kind of want to get your guys' thoughts on, has Ole pushed these guys too far? Is that where all the injuries came from? We all remember the Liverpool match. I've never seen anything like that before. Is it the change up in training, or are the guys simply out of gas? PK.
I think they're out of gas. It's been a highly, highly, highly emotional year. As fans, I'm sure as players. The change in training, definitely part of it. I think some of it is just being honest with yourself and the coach. I mean, you want to play for Ole. You did when he was the interim. Either you're playing for the interim coach or you're playing for your next coach. There's a lot more effort before he was permanent manager. I think there's a whole storm of what's going on right now. I think there's some locker room disconnect with guys that want to stay and guys that want to go. Case in point, the Everton game. I mean, the Everton game should be a walkthrough game with a little bit of effort. There was zero effort out of our top guys. I think it's a whole combination of that. It's not a good time to be in the locker room because I think guys want out of Ole's regime because I think he's starting to put his foot down that he's the permanent manager for the next 3 years, saying this is how Manchester United is going to play, and there's guys not buying in. I think Paul Pogba is one of them. I think Martial, you know, it depends on the week. He's gone in and out too. He'll spend 3 months on the lam and then, you know, be the best player on the team for 2 or 3 weeks. He does that. I think there's guys like Lukaku that see they're not going to fit the system, so they're on their way out. And when you have a locker room like that with guys that are going to buy in and going to cop out, they're not playing for each other, and it's going to make it very, very difficult to be a successful club like that. And I think the summer, like I said, is going to be a good break for the team. It's been highly emotional. I think everyone's physically and mentally drained at this point because, again, we don't have depth to play the schedule we're playing against the teams that we're playing. So I can't wait for the end of May, and we'll see what we get in the summer.
Absolutely. Matt, you've preached time and time again, not only in person but also on the podcast, that we can never get a consistent 11. But some things that shocked me versus City, I see Darmian on there. I can't remember the last time he played. Ashley Young has had a run of bad games. And I don't know if you saw some of his crosses, but they're atrocious right now. He's just not the man that needs to be playing in that position, especially for that type of derby, especially Darmian. I didn't know where Dalot was or McTominay. Those two guys could have started and filled those positions. What say you?
Yeah, right now, it's a head-scratcher for me. Like, for the past several weeks, you know, since the Liverpool game, really, we've had a lot of injuries we've had to deal with, and then some guys are getting healthy, but then you got a ton of games coming up, you know, with we have the PSG games and the Barcelona games and a whole bunch of midweek league games, and so Ollie's going to have to shuffle the lineup, so... But going to the City game, I thought for sure, okay, we're going to see our best 11 out there. Like, this is finally going to be the week where it makes sense, because what else do we have to play for after this? You know, there's nothing else to play for but top four. And this is one of those must-win games. And so I was thinking, okay, we're finally going to see Shaw on the left, and we're going to see Dolo on the right, and we're going to see Lindelof paired up with, you know, hopefully Smalling or Jones in the middle, and then McTominay and Pogba and maybe Herrera, and we're going to see everybody we expected to see out there. And then it wasn't that. And so I don't know what Ollie's trying to do. I don't know if he's trying to mix it up to see if he can get something new to stick, because he has a feeling that the normal 11 just isn't going to gel right now. Like, I can't put my finger on it. And then to see Darmian starting at center back was just blew my mind. So it's very, very confusing right now as to why he's doing what he's doing with the lineup, other than for whatever reason he thinks that he's going to get the best out of guys if he shakes it up. But clearly that hasn't worked. You know, the last two games, I can't remember ever seeing the United players throwing their hands up and arguing with each other as much as they've been, and just the sheer confusion as to what's going on out there. I think PK nailed it when he said that he's just ready for me to get here, and I am too. I always get bummed out when the end of the season comes, but this is one of those seasons where I'm kind of ready just to get it over with. You know, we had so many players go off to the World Cup this summer, and then for a lot of them it was a very emotional World Cup, and for Pogba it was you know, he scores the game winner to win it for France, and then you come back and then Jose's not happy. And he just is negative from the get-go because he didn't get the players he wanted. And it's just been a long, long, weird, strange journey since. And I think the players are just exhausted. And I think they're ready for May. I think they're ready for the year to be done. And so, unfortunately, it appears they checked out. So it just led to just some really bad chemistry. And maybe Ali's thinking he can shake that up by putting whoever else out there he can. And it's, but that's not working. So I don't know. Hopefully next year we get a good pile of 11 and we know we're going to get out and can build some consistency from there.
I think part of it, too, is why would you fight for top four if you know you're not going to be at the club next year? What do you care? And I think that is some of it, too. I think some guys know they're gone. They know the way Ole is going to play. I think they know who they want to bring in. And it's, you know, why am I going to give this extra effort if I'm not going to be here? I don't care if they make top four, which is an absolute shame for a professional athlete playing for Manchester United. But I think that's what's going on in the locker room right now. I think there's a lot of, now that Ole's in charge, he's going to build a Manchester United identity. And Pogba's already been shifted out because he didn't have that mentality. So we'll see. I mean, I'm excited to see what the summer brings. I think they're foolish not to bring the money and build a Manchester United team, not sign the good players or the best players, build a Manchester United team.
Fellas, not much time left here, but we have to get this in. Haven't read anything on it yet, but I'm sure we will pretty soon here. We've lost the 7 out of the last 9 matches. Something that hasn't been done since the 1960s. We've gone 572 minutes without a goal. Ole was setting the right records when he came in, had us pretty much in ecstasy, and now it's 100% agony. And the thing I was thinking, if Ole was still caretaker, would he get the job? Just need minute responses from you guys. Take it away, PK.
I think the team's still playing the way they did before he was a full-time manager. I think they're still fighting for the next coach. I still think they're playing harder. I think, again, like I said this in October, November, December, it's all on the players. It's their lack of effort. I think Phil Neville said that Everton ran an extra 4 kilometers more than the entire team of Manchester United. That's a joke. That's on the players. It's their effort. I'll give them the City game. I don't mind throwing that because I hate Liverpool. But Everton, really? You're going to lose 4-0 to Everton? That's on the players. I think Ole, if he's still interim coach, I think we're playing well. It's on the players at this point.
Yeah, Matt, the thing is, right now. Yep. Sorry, go ahead, bud.
Yeah, I don't think the caretaker manager, permanent manager has anything to do with it. I really don't. I think what we're seeing right now is just a culmination of just a very chaotic year, and some players are starting to see the writing on the wall that they're probably on their way out, and so it's just leading to a lot of very disjointed team. But I don't think it really should matter whether or not always your caretaker manager or the full-time manager, you know, it's on the players right now. They're not responding. They're not playing, you know, to their potential. You know, Pogba was quoted, you know, he had that interview where he was trying to take ownership for the loss of Everton. It was embarrassing and the fans deserve better and we should be playing like Manchester United. And he goes back out against City and just has another mediocre performance. Where's the fight? Where's the passion? That's just all the players need to get themselves up. You know, I said earlier in the year, you need a manager to lead, a manager to manage the players. And I still stand by my stance that Jose was far too negative with the team and his frustrations were carrying how he's managing the club. And I think it set the players up to not want to play for him anymore. But right now, I just, this is the time where the players should be playing for the badge and be fighting for top four, and they're not getting it done. And I don't think it's because, like, well, it's full time, we can cruise now. I think there's a lot more going on beyond that.
There's a sound as we hear it every week in Chester's own Stone Roses. Let the snow. We're out of time for the episode. Please join in next week. We're going to break down the Chelsea match, see if we're still in this top three or top four hunt. I was your host, Ryan Castell. Once along with Mr. Kelly, Matt Hutchinson, Honorable Dr. Red.